Yo, we're down at the dip. We're back. It's the ambiance. It's the vibes. People are bringing kegs in. Oh, man. It's a cash bar. No one told me outside.
What do you think it was free?
No, I didn't think it was free. I live in a... I'm a card guy now. You know what the worst part is? I've been... You know me. I was poor. I've always been cash because I had no faith in the cards. And now I show up here, the cash guy, whole life. Look at that bar, and somebody needs to bring me $10 so I can buy Caesar, is basically what I'm saying right now. Is I need $10 from someone to buy myself a Caesar. That's going to be the first thing up today. Yeah, I got my buddy Sam McKee down here, Jobo. We got a bunch of guests today. We got Dwayne DiRosario coming on down. That's going to be fun. Apparently, Jovinko is going to be like in the area. I thought he was going to be on the show. Mm. Pretty devastated. Mark Boffo got a little ahead of himself going, oh, you want Jovinko to drop by? I went, yeah, of course. Do I want to look tall in a photo? Absolutely. What are you talking about? Get him. Get that little guy down here. Then what? Nothing. Anyway, I can't wait for this, man. This is so fun. This is so great. You can feel already people starting to come in, watch some soccer. Japan ends up getting a big W against Germany. Smashes an early morning parlay for me just immediately. Like, that's the betting is... the betting vibe is low. Sam McKee.
It's been a long time coming here. You know, like, it's crazy that we're finally arrived on the day.
You know what, though? It's funny because I had the opposite feeling today when we started coming down here and getting ready because Canada qualified. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it was. Wasn't it like over a year ago or like about a year ago?
Yeah, but still, it doesn't feel like World Cup, obviously. It's wintertime.
Yeah, it's cold.
And Canada's involved.
Strike two.
It's just, this feels off to me still. Once they start, though, I'm so excited for it because I was talking to the restaurant owner, Rocco, about this a little bit earlier.
Mm.
So yesterday I was kind of bitching and complaining about how we haven't had international hockey since 2014. And I don't count 2016 because no one was getting together and caring about what it was even called. I always screwed up. World Cup of Hockey? It was World Cup of Hockey. Okay. Yeah. Nobody cared. We beat Team Europe.
It was an illustrious victory over Ralph Kruger's Team Europe.
Yeah. The Slovakian guys were furious. Yes. They went, we couldn't just get our own team? This is all our guys. Canada beats them. And since then, there has, outside of, for men's sports, what has there been where we've all gotten together and done something like this? Obviously, pandemic happens where nobody can do anything and everybody's just split apart and there's no communal events, whatever. But every once in a while, you're used to getting together in a massive group and watching at least Team Canada hockey do their thing. And we've had the women's teams, and they've carried us through this, right? We've had awesome moments where Olympic gold from our women in both sports.
Mm-hmm.
Those have been the moments where we've gotten together. I've actually been on air. I was on air for one of those, and then the women's hockey was at night, and it was on a weekday as well, right?
The women's soccer was one of the most stressful games ever.
It was.
Because it went to the penalties, and there was the captain missed for Sweden, and it was wild.
But dude, for men's sports, we just haven't had something like this in a really long time where everybody's going to show up. And what I'm so excited for is normally World Cup, you know, you come down, and this is not my first rodeo at the dip.
Mm. It is mine.
World Cup. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've never been here for a game.
It's the best.
Mine,
it's
too.
It's really great. Yeah. Yeah, you just got allowed into bars.
Okay.
I love how Jobo popped that. Ah, me too. No one cared. No one asked.
It's been 3 years.
Way to go, Joe. Way to go. Me too. Yeah, your parents let you come out here. They let you have a job. Nice. Anyway, you see people watching World Cup games, and people are usually in the uniform of, you know, France and Germany. There would be Germany fans here today.
A lot of Italy.
You get the Italy, of course, and English fans, and they're showing up, and it's split, it's divided. There's people that are rooting for stuff, but it's a lot of casual viewing or people who are betting, whatever. Today, we're getting the full-blown, everybody's on the same team. High stakes, everybody on the same team, rooting for Canada, decked out in the red and white. I got my scarf on. Sam's got his hat.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be wearing the gear. I could not be more excited for this. And I know I get kind of sentimental or preachy about these things time to time because sports do mean a lot to me. Yeah. I love
it. I should hope so.
Yeah. Hey, like I've always said, liking sports is cool by me. Some people in this industry think it's too cool to like sports. Not me. I think they're great. I'm just very excited today, and I'm already feeling it, that idea of community around sports. Again, this is what hits for me. This is the days like this. This is what hits.
Yeah, and I think you mentioning the hockey thing and us not having that as our national sport. The thing with soccer
is dirty.
It's such a priority for soccer, right? Like during even when their World Cup and Euro Cup are at a normal time, they shut down their leagues to have the qualification. They do everything like it's a main priority. Everyone builds up to this. This is like the biggest thing in the world is the international competition.
Yep.
And I do wish hockey was like that. So it's a point well made. But man, I am really, really excited. I got up this morning, a little scouting trip. Got up around 5 a.m. I watched the first half. Second half was a bit of a fight. You know, I was around 6 a.m. rolling around. Couch was feeling comfortable, but an excellent result for Team Canada and for Team Belgium, for that matter, for both those teams getting a draw, goalless draw, 1-1, both points to them. So now this game even more massive than it already was.
What would have been better, though? I feel like Morocco getting a W would have been the best result.
Well, no, but
I was thinking about
Morocco's
this.
Good.
Morocco's not a bad team at all.
So it's not like they're going to be going into the other games.
Listen, nobody's saying Morocco's bad, all right? Hipsters, I'm just saying that if we're looking at the group and the favorites right now, you'd kind of want the team that you're closest with to get a W over a draw, no?
I think the thing is you want the least points accumulated by every team that you're not playing.
And goals scored, too, because goals scored matters. When you're tied on goal differential, they look at goals scored. And Morocco and Croatia was 0-0.
Okay.
So if it gets to a point where it's a tie, they have the advantage, especially today, like if it's 1-1, let's say, there's an advantage Canada and Belgium right there.
Listen, I'm weirdly high on this team. There's too many people. Sid came on yesterday, maybe one or
two. Oh, my God.
The amount of messages that I got from people going, yo, Sid was electric. I went,
for sure.
Sid dominated that segment. I actually felt...
Yeah, it's like, hey, great segment on your show by Sid.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much that. Nobody texted me and went, great job, you and Sid.
No, great job, Sid, on your show.
Great job by Sid on your show yesterday. Basically, my credit for that segment was, that was cool that you got him on. I went, yeah, that was cool. That was a good job by me, letting him go, letting him talk. So he made a couple of points that are really sticking with me today about how, in my mind, what I was sort of thinking of heading into this was, are these guys going to be happy to be here or a little bit overwhelmed?
Mm-hmm.
And if you looked at some of the coverage, and this is no shade at anybody, I think that there's a natural protectionism happening from soccer media in this country, just a little bit where they're going, hey, nobody's been here before. You need to understand that we're playing a really good Belgian team. And if Canada loses this thing, don't be disappointed. Don't be sour on Canada like in years past. Because, man, Canada's had some, in qualifiers, devastating moments that have turned everybody into sour little babies going, bah, who cares about this? Same old Canada.
Yeah.
Right?
You mean literally my entire life watching them?
Yes. Right. So I think that for a lot of people who have covered this sport and who have covered Canadian soccer for a very long time, they've got their backs up a little bit about the potential of Canada losing, them getting no wins in this sucker, and people getting a little bit pissy.
Well,
you know?
I think that's fair, and I think they're probably... Yeah, it's subconscious that they're measuring this team versus crappy teams that used to get barn-doored by Honduras losing 8-1.
Dude.
They're measuring it against that. And I think that's fair, but I also think the flip side of that where they're saying, be careful here, is also very fair. Like, you watch the team... Like, I watched Croatia play this morning. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, they slowed down. They're old. They are snapping it around. They're a really, really good team. Tons of pedigree. You look at Morocco has some good players. Yeah. You look at they're playing Belgium with great players. Like, I am as optimistic as anybody else. Like, I can't wait for this. But that part of the protectionism, there is some validity to that.
Hey, guess what? If you're the type of person who can't understand that Canada being at the World Cup is a huge accomplishment.
Oh, my God.
When it
this
hasn't happened
this
in our
is the
lifetime.
Biggest thing.
Every single person that's sitting around this table right now has never seen Canada in a World Cup. Mm-hmm. No one was alive. Mm-hmm. No one.
Especially Jovo.
Yeah. I was very far from being alive.
Yeah. I wish you still were.
Were your parents alive?
I wish you still were. But
my parents were.
Yeah. Who cares? My point is, I don't think we need the qualifier. Like, I don't think we need the qualifier of, hey, it's a good thing to be. Just enjoy it.
Yes.
Just expect it. Root for Canada. Hope for Canada. I'm in big believe mode right now.
Of course.
I'm fully in on just, we're going to beat these guys. Our boys are going to go in there, be faster, and we're going to score. We're going to have dudes. All of a sudden, we're going to throw Davies. We're going to throw David. Number one soccer insider at the table over here, Devang Sai, is telling me that they're going to go Hoilett over Laren to start this game. All right. That seems to be the consensus.
Hoilett was dominant against Japan in the final tune-up. He was really good. He was looking good in their last couple games. Yeah. So I agree with Devant. And I wouldn't, even if I disagreed with him, I wouldn't say anything.
No, don't say, say anything. Yeah. He's a man.
He should be here, not me.
I was just going to say.
What am I doing here?
What are you doing here? go sit in that corner. Give Devant your headset. Definitely you.
What?
Yeah, you're out. Devant is it.
You told me
break.
To sit here.
I know, but next break you're out. Devant's it. But yeah, so especially we have Reach. You know Reachio, right, Devant? Yeah, he knows him. He knows Reach. He's coming in. Devant's coming in. Anyway, I'm optimistic, man. I just really feel as though they have an incredible shot at doing this thing today. I'm not even looking for the draw. I'm looking for the W.
So you can't help but get romantic about the other upsets that have happened so far. We just watched Japan take down Germany. That's not on the same level as Saudi Arabia beating Argentina.
Dude.
Like, that's a national holiday upset. Like, that's a different kind of thing. But you can't help but get optimistic here. Like, there hasn't been any blowouts, really, in this tournament outside of yesterday with France and England on the first day against Iran, which, you know, like, everyone in England's all fired up now. They think it's coming home. But I think that these games have been somewhat close, and you're seeing upsets. And it's a natural thing to measure yourself against other teams. We played Japan a week ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't their A squad, but we beat them.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my God, they just beat Germany? Like, we're right there with these guys. It's a natural feeling that you can believe. So I am with you. I'm 100% believing, but I would be lying to you if I didn't say that I had a little bit of the protectionism where I'm guarding against it.
That's fine. Again, I guess maybe I'm different in the sense of I'm not going to be bothered if somebody goes, oh, so we sucked actually, eh?
Yeah.
Because I know
doesn't
they didn't.
Matter. I honestly don't think, like, even if they lose all three games, they score a few goals.
Yeah.
To me, this is the accomplishment.
Well,
getting here was a massive thing.
The 86 team scored zero goals.
That's what I mean. So we need to score a goal.
Score a goal.
Yeah.
That's the bar, is get one goal and nobody can talk any trash. That's basically it.
Yeah.
And they're going to score a goal, man.
For sure.
Again, this team is fast, and they've... I hate references. Sid said it, but it's true, man. You look through it. Now that Lukaku's out, David is the best striker in the group.
He is.
The thing, for sure, but the thing with Lukaku is...
What?
A little bit of Ewing theory with him for me. Like, this guy, not my favorite guy. He's a bit of a slug.
That's replacing him is apparently 10 times the slug.
So, anyways, I'm just saying it's not like that's a massive, massive...
So, vote. Jobo has this thing about how... You know, Belgium is the Leafs, which is hilarious because you know I do that segment, Losers Like the Leafs, which is any time there's a team that has a little bit of... It's the easiest parallel to draw is the Leafs because they've lost for so long in so many different ways.
Oh, I mean, a team with a ton of pedigree and lots of fans?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just everyone does it, right? They go, or now with Stars, people have done... I've heard the Leafs are the Knicks, the Leafs are the Sixers, the Leafs... You know what I mean? You can go on down the line. There's a million comparisons. Jobo made it. I always think about the Leafs like England.
For sure.
And I think England is doomed because their fans did the it's coming home thing like after one game in the World Cup, and I went, you guys will never learn. You're done. It's over for you. It's over. It's over for... It was this first... It was just waiting. The karma gods were waiting for one person to do it, and then they couldn't help themselves because it's a fun thing to say. It's coming home. It's obviously so fun to say. And then they did it, and immediately the sports karma gods went, oh, yeah, that's the end of that. We tried. We were watching you, and it's over. So anyways, Jobo, break down why you think Belgium is the Leafs.
So Belgium being the Leafs is something that I've had for a couple of years now because it's
a couple years. Captain LeBron
over here.
It's LeBron. Okay,
no, Jobo. Because 2019, they were the number one team in FIFA rankings. To this day, they're the only team in history to be a number one team and not win anything. They have never won a trophy despite being a number one team. They have
a
ton of hype.
Right? So how about that?
We got
how
12
you,
of them.
Hey,
they just brought it out on a table.
How about you learn your history, buddy? How about you learn your history?
I'm talking about FIFA.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying you can't be compared to Leafs. We got the second most.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not where the comparison stops. Full stop. Nah, but Belgium, they always have a ton of hype. They have a ton of really good players, but... There's times where they seem like a team of 11 guys just on the field together.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a whole lot of chemistry sometimes, and it can kind of break down. And, I mean, case in point, they were in the semifinals in the World Cup previously. Mm-hmm. They went to a quarterfinals before. They were in the quarterfinals in the Euros twice. And they were projected to win all four of those tournaments. They were within the top two favorites. So it's a team that every single time they're like, maybe this is it. They're in the golden generation.
Yeah.
They got some young guys who can step up. They got world-class players. You know, they're Kevin De Bruyne.
Mm.
That's their Auston Matthews. That's the guy who's going to pull them out of the mud. But unfortunately, they just can't. They've never been able to do anything with it, and they always disappoint on the international
stage. I will say, though, they did dominate their qualifiers.
For
They didn't lose, and they outscored their opponents like 26-8, I want to say.
It was 25-6.
They did well in the regular season, and then they're coming into the playoffs.
Losers like the Leafs.
And they were in a group with Wales, who is a World Cup team. I'll give them some credit there.
Yeah.
Czech Republic, who did not make the World Cup. Estonia and Belarus, who were there
Wales
to just make up
stinks.
Numbers.
Wales was terrible. That was awful.
So that's what I'm saying. Are you surprised that they dominated qualifying?
I guess not. I should have looked at their opponents. I will say this.
Who else dominated qualifying?
Yeah.
Us.
Yeah, no. Well, this is where I'm going.
England does it, too, all the time.
Watched Mexico yesterday. Mm. Watched the States the day before. Mm. Normally, those are my teams because...
Yeah, you cheer for the continent.
Cheer for North America.
Agreed.
Right? That's always the way it's been. Those are the teams that I wanted to see play, though. And Mexico looked good.
Oh, yeah.
Mexico looked real good.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else looked good? The States. They blew it.
Yeah.
They blew it. Both of those teams should easily be 2-0. And it was, Poland and Wales, right, that the two teams beat?
Poland and Mexico and then USA and Wales.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Those are the two teams. And I'm used to Poland being a little bit more of a powerhouse. Huge save in that game,
they
by the
should
way,
have the won keeper. That game off that penalty. Guillermo Ochoa, the Mexico keeper, there's a running joke that he just spawns in every 4 years for a World Cup. He doesn't actually exist for qualifying. He just spawns in and he just makes world-class
saves. I love it. All I'll say is both of those teams clearly world-class. Canada beat them both.
Mm-hmm.
And, did Canada beat them both in cold, icy conditions? Are there little tiny caveats? But it was never like Canada was getting completely outplayed or outclassed or dominated by those groups, right? So I feel a little bit like maybe, just maybe, the whole world is looking at Canada the way that we started to at the beginning, which was these guys have never been here before. They're just happy to be here. Hey, this team is just okay. And it does feel as though Canada is really set up to take advantage of a lot of Belgium's weaknesses.
Yeah.
It's essentially going to come down to, I'll ask you this, like Jobo, and we'll talk to D-Row about this later.
Mm-hmm.
It really just does feel like the midfield is going to be the real story of this game.
Yes, so Canada's midfield, they're probably going to go with the double pivot. Likely Stefan Eustachio and Atiba Hutchinson.
100% those guys.
They go with the double pivot. Herdman goes with the double pivot no matter what formation they use. Wow, the music's getting started here already.
Yeah.
Wow. And Belgium has a strong midfield. It's probably going to be Axel Witsel, Yuri Tielemans, and then they got Kevin De Bruyne, who is a midfielder, but he usually drifts to the right wing for the national team. But Kevin De Bruyne, this guy is ridiculous. For people who don't know, he is a top-of-the-line world-class midfielder. You can make the argument that he's one of the best of all time. Not that I necessarily agree, but the argument is there. And 19 goal contributions
Joe,
in 24 games.
You saying he's not. All right.
No.
It's fine. I'm not listening. All
I'm saying is I'm not necessarily saying he is. I'm just saying the conversation is there, and he has to be respected. That talent has to be respected. His vision is ridiculous. He always seems to pick out plays that even like watching it in real time, you're like, how did he even see that guy? And then you watch it in the replay, you're like, how did he even see that guy? So the midfield's going to be a big problem. Canada's back line hasn't been incredible. Their front forwards and their wingbacks is their strength. As we've seen, you saw it in the USA game. Their speed on the wings, their speed up front, that's going to be their powerhouse. But the midfield, and Belgium's a dominant possession team, so I don't anticipate Canada touching the ball a lot, but it's going to be countering. That's going to be their thing.
If they're going to win, it's going to look like the game that we went through in hand.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Get one off the 100%, counter early.
But 100%.
Guess what? Yeah. Guess what Canada's been sick at? Countering.
Yeah.
That feels like something that they're going to be able to do today, and I'm feeling very confident in.
The thing you mentioned, you're talking about De Bruyne there, who is legitimately top five, top three player on the earth.
Yep.
Yes.
He has the ability so that you never get the ball, don't get a chance to counter, because he's so good in that, he's going to control the whole game. You played all these great games in qualifying. You played against really good teams. Like we said, USA good, Mexico good, all these teams you played against. They have never seen anything like this. And this isn't like a qualifying game. This isn't a game where you are, but they're not reason to pull up. This is him at top level with the most incentives to beat the crap out of Canada.
Belgium has pressure too.
There's pressure, and that's one of the things that I was going to get to. That's in Canada's favor.
Yes.
Is the pressure of Canada going in there with? Listen, to what we're talking about. We're all happy to be sitting at the bar and being able to watch a game together and enjoy ourselves, and maybe we get a goal and maybe we enjoy it. What do you think Herdman's saying? He's like, no one believes in us.
Yeah.
Like, we're going out there against and we know how to play.
Dude,
against
these
guys.
Did you see Herdman's thing that I posted on Instagram yesterday?
Yes. I want to, honestly, that guy.
Herdman, did you see that, Joe? I posted a video of him that Canada Soccer had of Herdman talking about how he was like, all my life, people said I couldn't do this. And then he goes down the line of just the things people told him that he couldn't do or the things they told him he was. And then he just finishes it with, and nobody believes us now. And it's all about the growth of the program. And I was literally sitting there watching him go over the speech. And I went, oh, my God.
I absolutely love that man.
Dude, John Herdman is
the man.
He's the dude.
Man,
he's the
he
dude.
Is the reason to believe in this team.
For
just
sure.
About anything.
Well, 100%.
Yes. Jonathan David and Alfonso Davies.
Yeah, they're going to play the game. But I do feel as though Canada has a big advantage from a tactical standpoint in terms of who is going to be making the adjustments for this team, who's going to touch the right buttons and make sure that we're doing, like, to the best of our... Everybody's looking at, are you guys getting distracted by or scraping the windows? Like,
no.
What's going on here?
Oh, I'm just looking around.
Oh,
I'm just enjoying the environment.
Everyone turned and looked at the villa thing. I was like, wow, did I lose you guys? I love this. I love being on these locations. So anyways, I feel like they have a big advantage there. And I think that dude is going to press all the right buttons to get these guys to get up for the game. Okay, we're going to do tons more soccer today. Obviously, we're down here at the Dip. So come on down, Cafe Diplomatico. We got to talk about the Leafs for a second here.
Oh, my God. Throw me a Leafs curveball. Love it. What do you want to talk about?
Well, we got it. Morgan Riley got put on IR. He's out for 10 games minimum, 24 days.
Looking like 4-6.
Buddy, the Leafs are... This is getting to a comical point. With their blue line and how many players that they can end up losing.
What
this
year
is,
was it where they had like only had Tyson Barrie as like an NHL defenseman? Was that 2019? Was that before the pandemic?
Yeah, well,
Were they lost legitimately everybody? And Tyson Barrie was playing like on the top pair with Martin Rinchen. Remember that?
Yeah.
When they really lost everybody?
But this is going to be a real stretch. Because TJ Brody, the report is... The oblique's not recovering way that they expected it to. So who knows when he's returning. Morgan Riley, like I mentioned, he's out at least 10 games. Jake Muzzin's done for the year. The only Jake Muzzin conversation is what are they going to do about his money and how are they going to use his LTIR space. You've got a blue line right now where Mark Giordano is unequivocally their best player. Yeah. Who's better than him on the blue line right now? Who are you even going to
get? I'm just thinking about who's playing. No, he's number one.
It's Mark Giordano, who has to be eating essentially like the hardest matchups. It's Timothy Liljegren, Rasmus Sandin. I don't think Victor Mete drew in, actually.
No, Hallowell's playing.
Yeah, Hallowell's playing. And guess what?
Jesus.
Mete had 0 points in 5 AHL.
That's going to be a tough one to see for old Mete on the board.
Yeah, but again, Mete had 0 points in 5 AHL games. And the moments that he got an opportunity with the big club, as we're saying today, because it's soccer day, he didn't look so hot, all right? So I'm not... nobody should be crying over Victor Mete. He's definitely one of those guys that the internet picks and decides to go, this is someone we're going to die on because of whatever.
Yeah.
He's smaller and he moves the puck and that's just... You know, there's a certain section of the internet that's losing their minds that he's not playing. Anyway, Mac Hollowell, dude.
So, listen.
It got thin real fast.
Listen.
Scoring any goals 5-on-5.
I don't know what team in the NHL could lose legitimately their three best defensemen and still have a passable decor. And I think the Leafs still have a passable decor.
Yep, and this is
a credit. I talked about this yesterday with Kipper and Borny, and it's a credit to Dubas that they actually have passable depth. Like, is Jordy Benn and Mac Hollowell, maybe that's not passable, but that's something like one of those guys has played in the NHL. How many games do you have? 600 games? And then you look at Liljegren and Sandin, they're supposed to take another step. And then you have Hall and Giordano, who are both NHL veterans. You have, without your three best players, a passable decor. Listen, I wish they weren't going into Jersey, who are looking for their 14th straight game tonight. Win tonight. We wish they were playing a lesser team,
I'm
probably.
I'm such a dumbo because they're trying to go for 14. Yeah. I'm going, that's too many. I think that...
The record's 17, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but are they at 13 already? They got 13?
Yeah, who'd they beat? I think forget who they beat for 13. Maybe Ottawa? Everyone beats Ottawa.
Either way, I'm just saying it does feel like, you know, lucky number 13. And Leafs just saying, it just feels kind of like Leafs.
Leafs only plus 115.
Plus 115 for Leafs?
Yeah. With their three best defensemen going into a team. Listen, they're going to lose eventually. So If you want the plus money,
that's what I'm saying.
My
stupid brain goes, there's no way.
The Devils.
Yeah, like, what? Just tell me. Say.
It was the Oilers.
Oh, the Oilers. Yeah.
I was like, this kid, Joe, shows me his phone, and it's just.
Well, I thought you were just going to take it in stride and say,
the
Oilers.
What you were doing,
Joe. God.
And poor old Jack Campbell got hit in the nose on the bench in that game, broke his nose.
Yeah, broke
on
his
the
nose. Bench. Yeah. And then he had to talk after the game. He's going, man, I hate it here. This sucks. My life is hell right now. And then, bang, he gets Pat Quinn. and then he has to talk to the media after. Anyways, here's the couple of thoughts I have on the blue line right now. Mm-hmm. One is I'm shockingly unconcerned.
Same.
Which is wild to say. It's kind of two things. One, Morgan Riley was stacking points. Good for him. But
I don't like this take.
Well, it is what it is, man. He hasn't been playing very well.
Listen,
he hasn't been playing very well.
I know. And I'm not number one Mr. Morgan Riley guy. I'm not the biggest defender. Yep. I'm not the biggest hater.
He's a lot better than Mac Hollowell.
This is a big stretch for the Morgan Riley haters.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is to see what they look like without him.
Well,
listen.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because they're going to put Rasmus Sandin on the power play.
And guess who's never getting back on the top unit?
Correct. No. And that is what I'm talking about right now. If they look... And the power play has been clicking, and Morgan Riley's actually been good lately. He's been, a little bit more decisive. He's been good. Either way, if that power play looks better without Morgan Riley and he comes back in 10 days, he's not going to get Wally Pipps. He's not going to lose his position. But people are going to be fired up if he comes back and the power play takes a step back. This just feels like a little bit of pressure for him. Like, getting hurt is how different does the blue line look? How different does the team look? He makes $7.5 million, dude.
I know.
He's supposed to be... When Kyle Dubas goes up there, he always says, it's not the big... We don't view it as the big four. We view Morgan Riley as part of the core. And everyone always says that. Morgan Riley's part of the core. He gets disrespected. He gets overlooked. He's a blue liner. Well... I can tell you this right now. Leafs lose one of those core four forwards right now, and people are in full-blown, what the hell are they going to do mode. That's not how I felt losing Morgan Riley yesterday. And he just got re-upped to that big deal. All I'm saying is that. Two, huge stretch for Sandin Liljegren. Huge stretch for these two guys. Liljegren has a lot of people who love him. Sandin has had a pretty tough start to the season, some pretty negative press clippings.
Coach talk about him yesterday?
What did he say?
Oh, he's like, oh, well, you know. I think he's in a better spot than he was a week ago. He's got his swag back.
What are you talking about?
Fight.
Come on. Give me a break.
He said this
yesterday.
You think
he got more confidence from that fight? No.
Matthews called him an animal, so maybe that made him feel good. I don't know. That was a hilarious fight. Just as an aside.
Yeah.
Where he goes and he's like, I'm just gonna grab at you. And then it's like, bonk, bonk. He's got punching downhill.
You missed Leafs Talk that night because you were getting absolutely sloshed with Kipper at the game?
I did nothing of the sort.
This guy couldn't even piece together a text message.
I couldn't? I don't even remember text.
Yeah, exactly. You just said pictures of stuff. Classic drunk guy move is, here's a picture of the ice. Thanks, man. Sick. Anyways, you were out. You were getting crushed. I said it in Leafs Talk. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Good for him for going and trying to grab somebody. But also, you could see it in Sandin's face when Matthews gets clipped with the knee.
He's like, oh, crap.
He looks like, oh, my God, I'm the closest guy to him. Yeah. And then he goes up with zero intention to fight. That was not what he was looking for. He wanted to grab him.
Have a conversation.
And then wait for someone else to show up, a.k.a. a ref, and split them up. And instead, he's...
He was in the... But like, I'm not to brag. But I was right behind the net.
It happened right in front of me. You could stunt on the fellas.
And he could not have been more on an island. The play was gone. There was no refs near him. By himself with Wahlstrom. And then he just had to eat. But, I mean, here's the thing. These guys just punch helmets so much. Wahlstrom punched him in the helmet 5 times. Never made a connection with the face. And then he fell over the top of him.
Yeah, I would say that. If part of his red face was the ice.
Fall. It was the fall.
But no, but he definitely landed a punch on his face.
Yeah,
definitely. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. He definitely did. Anyway, did you see Sandin's face?
Oh, yeah, it's bad. Yeah. I thought it was from when he fell face first in the ice.
It was.
That's
he
what I thought it was.
He ate a bunch of ice. He was crashed ice. was what that was.
So we always, just to go back to the decor, we always talk about how, you know, it's less compelling in this season. It's all about the playoffs or whatever. To me, this is a really compelling stretch of hockey to see how the Leafs respond. And listen, a part of this, which is crazy to say, why I have confidence, is how Matt Murray's looked. Like, Matt Murray has been really good for them in the last 3 games he played. He looks like an NHL goaltender back there. This is a big test for him, too. And if they go in there, they win tonight, they beat him to stop their winning streak, he plays well, How big is that for him? Like, it's a big test for the guys that they put in there and the test for Matt Murray. I'm really interested to see how it's going to go.
So I actually think that this is a great thing for the Leafs overall, is having adversity throughout their season and forcing them to stay disciplined for a really long stretch. Having the forwards continue to play that the way that they are. I've said this over and over and over again. To me, this is the more sustainable, projectable way to win in the playoffs, is what the Leafs are doing right now. I don't believe that this team has just some... There's been an inability for a lot of this fan base or some of the people that cover this team to check out of the mindset of who the Leafs were when they first came into the league, like this core.
Oh, my God, they're just a different team.
To who they are right now.
Yeah, they're the 95 Devils now.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, man. This is a team that is going to be built on team defense and being able, like Canada today, counterpunch. Mm-hmm. They're going to have the puck a lot, and then they're going to be able to pick their spots, but they're going to play great team D. They're going to clog the middle of the ice. Having your depth have to show up, have to perform, putting your young guys in big spots where it's important, where Sandin's not worried about... Man, a week ago we were going, Sandin's going to have to come out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. And now he's saying, I got a real stretch here to prove myself in a top four role with heavy minutes, heavy role, power play, all this stuff. It's awesome. The depth getting tested like this is awesome for the Leafs long run. They're making the playoffs, okay? They're not going to fall out of a playoff spot. How many times have they been outplayed by a team this season? Three times, maybe. That's what you put up there as, oh, Leafs definitely got work tonight.
Devils
and two Golden Knights games.
That's what I was going to say.
Those are the three where they were clearly not the better team that night. Every other game, they've had blips where they have not played very well. They've had horrible periods.
Yeah.
But they haven't had a whole game where the other team looked way better than them.
Yeah.
They're making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Who cares? That's not about this. They're going to get there just fine. What is going to be the huge tester, the stress test for this team is how can the depth respond to this? That being said, the 5-on-5 scoring, now that these guys have to focus even more defensively, is going to start to plummet. I don't think that you can make excuses for it, but it at least has to be something that's known.
Looking at Leaf unders.
Oh, hell yeah. And if it's not Leafs unders, oh, hello. Hey, can you guys
hear that? Hello.
Yeah, hey, that guy decided to test it out.
Oh, yeah. The atmosphere is getting up there.
Waffle's giving me the
wrap it up.
The lasso here.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Christian Jack, see what he knows. John Herdman's talking at the podium right now in a highlight. I wish I could hear because you know it's good.
God,
did you know
good.
He spoke at Christine Sinclair's dad's wake? Like, wow. This guy is the man. Yeah, dude.
I almost just welled up. You
I know, me. Man. I read that yesterday. I went, this is... Can you guys hear that down the line? Can you hear that through your head?
They brought in Frank Sinatra to do the mic test.
Yeah, that's so good. Anyways, quick break. Then we'll come back with Kristen Jack, and he'll set us up with what Canada's going to do today. That's next.
Sportsnet 590, the fan. Bam.
We're down at Cafe Diplomatico. The band... They're warming up. It actually sounds nice. I hope that it's not ripping through the headset. People are like, did you say something? I was like, what are you talking about? You think I went over there and told
them,
like,
did.
Hey,
you
keep
left.
It down.
You left for a second and went right
went
to the
bathroom.
Band.
No, I was like, what are you guys going to play? I put in requests. What are you talking about? I was going to tell them to turn it down. Kristen Jack is down there. He's in guitar. One soccer. Hey, Kristen, what's up, man? How are we doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing good, man. Like, we're excited for this game. It's unbelievable. We're down here, and it's just, you know, on college, and people are starting to kind of pour in, filter in, and it's kind of just a bit of a surreal experience to be, seeing people all in Canada gear that are excited for a World Cup game. Like, it's not just, you know, France and England and Germany jerseys. It's everyone kind of uniting under the one thing. It's pretty wild, I got to tell you. It's very, very different. So, up here, man, it feels like there's a lot of optimism for Canada. The lack of expectations, their youth versus a Belgian team that, you know, is an older team, has had some injuries, some scars, a lot of pressure. Is that the feeling that you're getting down there too?
Not quite. I think there's a little bit to that. I think the expectations in Canada are obviously fueled higher because of the genuine excitement, and the confidence is there because of how well Canada played in qualifying, and I get all of that. I'm certainly not saying they couldn't win tonight. They've got a real shot. But there is an element of feeling here that Belgium still remain big favorites. But, what are we witnessing here? Japan's just beat Germany. I was in the stadium yesterday. Saudi Arabia beat Argentina. You know, we're seeing Denmark and Tunisia get really, really close and drew 0-0. Morocco, I just came back from, playing very well and being better than Croatia. So, we're seeing that these games are very tight. The sport of football or soccer, whichever your preference is, genuinely, it can be very, very thin and fine margins anyway. You know, ultimately a bounce of a ball here or, you know, an error here or there, and suddenly the goal can sway the momentum. So, look, Canada have got a shot, no doubt about it, but this Belgian team is good.
Yeah, number two in the world. A lot of people don't feel like they deserve that ranking, but again, they shot through qualifying with an incredible record, undefeated, and yeah, a huge goal differential. So the lineup for Canada today, we're waiting for it to be official, but is your expectation that it's going to be Hoilett in there or Laren?
I think Hoilett will play. I've thought that for some time. He's just been playing at such a better level than Laren. He's been playing every week, and he's been playing at a level of intensity that John Herdman requires for this team. So I think it'd be a big surprise if Junior Hoilett's not playing. I think he'll probably play, and I think Buchanan will probably play as well. So I think depending on where they play, one or the other, at fullback or on the wings. But I think they're the two decisions for me. It was always two or four. It was Buchanan and Laren, Larea and Hoilett, and the rest of the nine I think speaks for itself. So I think Junior Hoilett and Tejon Buchanan will probably end up starting.
What's your understanding of the state of the Davies injury? Because there's been video footage of him kind of not looking completely great. He said that he wouldn't be out there if he wasn't 50-50. Herbman's talked about it, that he's a go. Where are we at heading into this game with his health?
Well, we can only go on what we're told, right? He says he's fine. He's absolutely ready to go. Herdman says he's ready to go and he's going to play. I think they kept him behind a little bit more for precautionary reasons. They feel like he's completely fine. So, look, is it a non-story? I don't think it's a non-story because ultimately Alphonso Davies is the most important player. And whenever you get a window into potentially not using him or playing with him, people want to know about it. Plus, what does he have? He has an unbelievable talent, but he has electric pace. And so anything like a hamstring that can stop that, look, if he pulls up with a hamstring tonight, then his tournament's over, right? So let's hope that's not going to happen. Let's hope he's okay. And we're not talking about this anymore at the World Cup.
So, Christian, I'm watching all these games in the World Cup, and I'm just seeing the massive swaths of fans for all these teams that are there and they're represented. What's the situation with Canada fans there? Do you have a read on how many people traveled and what that situation's like? I'm just really interested to see what it's going to look like versus, like an Ecuador or all those other ones. They're just massive swaths of fans.
Yeah, I'm interested about that tonight as well. I was at the Morocco-Croatia game today. Morocco had about 25,000 and Croatia probably had about 4,000. I think it'll be a little bit closer to what Croatia have. So we'll see. Like, there's a lot of Canadians here, there's no doubt about it. I can't say that I've seen too many fans on the streets because I've spent the majority of my time here going to matches and back and forth between games. So, my focus has been on the games. But there was a lot of them on my flight out. I saw a lot of them last night at the Canada Soccer House and the CIBC Friends and Family event. So it was great to see them there. So, I think we've traveled, but I don't think we'll be expecting Morocco or Saudi Arabia or Argentina like crowds, that's for sure.
Chris and Jack, we know you're super busy today, so we really appreciate you finding some time to jump on with us, man.
Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Always a pleasure to join you, and hopefully everybody enjoys the day. It's a monumental day for this sport in this country, so it should be a special one. Thanks again.
Absolutely, man. Take care. There's Chris and Jack of One Soccer. And
God,
yeah,
what a thrill to be there, man. The one thing that really makes me sour, and it's not even about it being in November, but like what I wouldn't give for it to just be, in Germany in the summer.
Hey, guess what, though? Right now?
Summery.
With
that
out,
heat coming off here and the sun, I'm like, oh,
heater.
It is July. Why don't I wear a coat?
Yeah, all the boys out on the patio.
Oh, yeah.
It's not feeling
No, it's feeling
that
like,
wintery.
You know what it's feeling like?
Yeah, take your jacket off.
Feeling like a Canada
win. Hey, yeah, I was going to say, I've been doing the hard-o move of, I'm basically Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau when he wears no, I'm Colin Kaepernick at Lambeau. That's who did that.
Oh, with the
yeah, he shows up. I'm like, I'm not afraid of the elements. That's me. I took my jacket off early. No big deal.
Me and Kaepernick have the same arms.
Yeah, yeah. You got the noodles going.
Oh yeah,
yo,
bigger arms than a snake.
You look like a wacky inflatable tube man. Have you ever looked at a thing that's heavier than that coffee cup?
I was gonna say maybe a beer.
Yeah,
is that heavier?
God, man, can we just get that now? I would really like a beer. That would be very nice. I would really, really, really like a beer. A Caesar would be just top notch.
That's the second time you mentioned that.
Yeah, because
I was gonna say you could get Joe, but he might not be allowed to buy one.
No, he's not.
Okay.
Joe. I love how he's just never turns it into, like, you're an old bag of dust.
Yeah, just, he's like, always like, immediately like, how old are you?
No,
well, I don't want to punch that far up yet. I'm trying to earn my place first before I start chirping you guys for age.
Smart. Smartest thing you've ever said.
Although I do get my teeth kicked in pretty often.
Yeah, you do. I love it. It feels so good. The band, they're like playing now. This is the thing.
There's going to be.
I love it.
They're going to like.
They're about to do a full set.
They're going to do a goal song too. I bet if they score a goal, they'll hit a song.
I mean, I hope so. That's actually a pretty sick feature.
Yeah, it is. Listen. Yeah,
I can't wait to watch
this. There's nowhere better in the city. This is the destination. If you can get a seat here, you could probably sell it to somebody at 2 o'clock for $10,000. Like this is like going to a big time event. It's huge. We're coming down to that Cafe Dip. I've just never come down here because I don't have passion for other nations. Like I watch soccer, I love soccer, but I don't feel the same way about England or whatever, the same way you feel about Canada. So I've never been down here, and it is sick. Like this thing they got set up in here, they got a whole tent.
They blocked down
like
a road.
It's like a movie theater in there. Like it's gonna be nuts.
You should have seen this area when Italy played England in the Euro final.
Oh yeah.
I have a bunch of friends who are Italian, so I came down with them just for the vibes. It was crazy.
Oh yeah.
And this is that was Italy, so they're not.
I'm really hoping it's like that for Canada.
I hope it's better.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
You think so?
Yeah, of course. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
This is my only fear as a shorter guy, is sitting behind somebody tall in that spot. I'm looking at it.
Tall guy, got to go the back row.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying, is that when it's flat, this isn't a movie theater seating, right?
No.
This is all flat row.
Yeah.
This is very strategic for a short guy like me.
They didn't bring in the stadium seating to Kevin.
Buddy, somebody come down here with one of those Winter Classic pads that all the boys still fart into to this day, every cold of their head. The amount of farts that are in those Winter Classic pads.
Imagine taking the effort to bring one of those. That's crazy to me.
People bring them everywhere. Every single outdoor game. You and I just went to.
I've got a juicy enough butt that I can just sit down. It doesn't bother me.
Buddy, we just went to Argos East Finals, and we saw multiple of them. People bring those.
Oh,
yeah, people bring those. Those are the lasting legacy of that Winter Classic game in Detroit. Nice. We should just let the microphones
hit the mic. Hit the post. Yeah,
let these guys.
So, take me off the show and just have my mic.
What are you most excited for and most nervous for heading into the game?
Oh, I mean, I'm most nervous about De Bruyne. Like, that's pretty clear. I'm terrified of a guy who can just take over an entire game. And, yeah, it's a nervous feeling knowing that you're the team that's not going to have possession, right? Like, I've watched other Canada games where they've just been clearly the better team, or even against Mexico, right? When it was up here especially, Canada was actually, even at Azteca, they really played them kind of pretty evenly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as though
we should have won that game.
Yeah. You guys said it. The kind of replicable win here is the USA game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't like speaking about it like this because it makes it feel as though I'm kind of disparaging the win, but you have to know that the elements definitely played a certain factor into that game
and
for the
States. Script of that game.
And the game script was perfect for Canada. They got up early. They were able to just kind of like park the bus and kind of play to their strengths. It was a physical game. It was a good game. I don't think that the refs were, the refs didn't over-officiate that game. Right?
I would say so.
They were letting him play.
Yeah, they were letting him play.
Danielle Henry, 1 minute into that game, body bagged a guy.
Yeah, that was.
I'm sad he's not at the World Cup.
I know. It's he's tough. Our butcher, and it's just.
Everything needs a butcher, but I don't want him playing against Kevin DeBruyne.
You definitely don't. But it still would have been nice to know if we were getting blown out that he could have checked into the game and just
body lit someone up. Just took out their striker's ankles.
That's hockey mentality.
I know it is.
And the goons out, baby.
Hey, guess what? I'm not ashamed of who I am. I know who I am.
Me too.
Anyway, so I'm definitely uncomfortable with the idea of being the team that has to sit back, counterpunch the entire time, and knowing that the possession numbers are going to be heavily tilted in their favor. What I think I'm most optimistic about is that, one, when Canada beat the States, they didn't have Davies. I'm unbelievably excited to see. Everyone's talked about De Bruyne. And I get it, because this is a different class of player than Canada's faced. Like you guys mentioned, he's a top five player on the planet. But Davies is world class too.
Big time.
And it doesn't.
I feel like that's under talked about.
Exactly. That's 100%. All I'm saying is all we've spent the time talking about with Davies has been is he hurt? Well, guess what? He's playing in this game, and if he's just even, 90%+ healthy, if he turns out to be fine in this one,
75%.
That's exactly right. we've spent so much time talking about his injury and what a big loss it would be for Canada, and I think that everyone's kind of doom projecting what it's going to look like for him. But if it isn't for him, how big of a player is he going to be in this game? Because, man, he is an absolute electric factory. You know, you watch him play for Bayern, and he is one of their just...
focal points.
Yeah, like, he's one of their signature guys, if not the signature guy. And so, yeah, seeing him in this game against them, I'm extremely excited for when he just decides to jump up and be threatening, what that's going to look like and how they're going to be able to respond to it. Again, I'm very, very, very...
You know what I'm most nervous for, and we talked about it with Devang before we got on,
yeah,
is how much extra time there's been in this tournament. Every game has been like 8 minutes added time, 7 minutes added time. England was 10 minutes added time. I'm terrified of us being tied with them, or God forbid we have a 1-0 lead.
Don't you say God forbid. We can do it.
Just something like that. And have it be like 10 minutes of added time of just pure Belgian possession, shots on net, chances, Borean flying around out there. That is what I'm most nervous about. And hey, it'd be a great problem to have because you're in the range of getting a point from them. But man, it's going to be scary with all this added time.
Bro, these headsets have really messed with my hair. I just saw a picture that Ailish posted, and it's like, my hair is a train wreck from these headsets.
You have a hedge in the front.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice.
It's like, look at this thing. Like, I can't wear the headset. Like, these are out. I just can't hear the show. Like, I got to put it all the way at the back. Like, this is bad. People have been looking at me doing this. Like, they're like, who's this joker?
I did want to add one thing about Davies. Like, you guys mentioned he's world class. And for people who don't know, like, this kid was a teenager starting for Bayern Munich, and they won the Champions League as a teenager. And he played against Chelsea, and he put them in a spin cycle. He played against a Lionel Messi led Barcelona. They beat them 8-2. Davies was pivotal in that game. So yeah, De Bruyne is obviously probably a better player than Davies, but big players make big plays and big opportunities, and Davies being out there, being the level that he is very important to Canada.
I'm a diehard Chelsea fan, and I remember watching, like, we were playing against Bayern in that game, and I was like, oh, cool, we get to watch Davies play against Chelsea.
And then he cooked
and
you.
And then he barbecued.
And then he killed
like,
you guys.
He honestly was he had, like, three assists, and, like, he absolutely killed them. It was
him going down the left wing and just beating everybody, crossing the middle, goal.
Yeah. So
that's Canada's favorite way of attacking, too.
Yeah. Yes.
Is go down the wings, cross it in. You got a guy like David or Laren in the middle.
And David, listen, he's been in excellent form in Europe. He's a world-class striker. Like, teams from England are sniffing around this guy. Like, there's a chance he's going to end up in Liverpool. He's like
Arsenal, Chelsea, they've all been looking at him.
He's going.
People are sniffing. So it's like, you can't, listen, you can talk about the defense, you can talk about the midfield, and maybe, but there's, this team can do something that not a lot of teams can do, and that's score. And they've scored. Weren't they the top scoring
country in
the world?
Dude, they can score, and they're fast, man.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Athletic,
let's see how fast they look against the Belgian team.
Yeah.
That part, to me, is why I'm optimistic. That's what I'm talking about with Davies. If they have their speed,
100%.
I think they can cook these boys. I think that they can end up getting back there and score some goals.
I was just talking to Sam before. Like, out of Canada's 23 goals in qualifying in the third round, only 4 came from sequences that were more than 10 seconds. What does that tell you? They're fast, athletic, they force turnovers, and they counter quickly.
Yeah. Jobo, that's a great stat.
It is a great stat.
And guess what? That brings me to, it's time for action, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app to get in on the action. Must be 19+. Must be an Ontario resident. And if you are an Ontario resident, specifically a Toronto resident, you probably want to come on down to College Street today.
Get down here now, because that's the only chance to get in a spot is in the next couple hours.
I was actually going to say that this is the place that this is the street you want to be on today. All right? Like, if you're listening to this, you probably care. You might be stuck at work. You might be stuck in a truck. Whatever. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure it out. You're not going to get too many chances to watch. Hey, how many chances have you had to watch Canada at a World Cup game? None? Oh, that's right.
Oh, zero?
Oh, get on down here. Anyways, I'm switching it up on DraftKings today because we're talking about football, okay?
Football.
It's football. It's not NFL football, all right? It's this. It's Belgium. It's Canada. Belgium minus 180. The draw is plus 340. Canada all the way down to plus 475.
Again, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Cool. The world is, this line is just dropping with Canada.
You know what it opened up as?
Yeah,
81. Plus 850.
Yeah, 850. Okay, so
that terrifies me. Public money?
I was going to tell you this. This is my genuine advice for today. You can always bet the home side. You know me. I'm always like, what are you going to do? You can happiness hedge, but that's just not a good enough number to have.
I slammed.
So did I. But this is my thing. I kind of think that you missed it. I kind of think that if you didn't bet Canada already, you sort of missed it. This, to me, is not a good enough price on either side that I'm not playing Belgium for a minus 180 happiness hedge. There's no happiness to that loss. You lose on that. You're losing big money to make a profit on that bet. Obviously, the draw, plus 340, maybe that's a little bit of your play. Maybe it's just Canada plus 475 to take a money. I'm just saying that the value opened up at plus 850. It's really tough for me to get behind betting Canada, at least on the money line for this one. Jobo, you got any bets?
I will say Jonathan David plus 320 to score. I'm liking that a lot. Kyle Larin will likely come off the bench. So at plus 330, he'll probably only be on the pitch for 25, 30 minutes, so less time to score. But Jonathan David at plus 320.
It's a hunch. What's Eustachio to score?
Eustachio to score is at, he is way down here, plus 1,200.
Hunch.
And Davies is at plus 400.
Eustachio scored 2 goals in Champions League recently. Yep. He's been playing really well.
So Steven Eustachio, people don't know, plays for Porto. Yeah. They're in the Champions League knockout stages, and they were in a bloody group with Club Brugge, Bayer Leverkusen, Atletico Madrid, who finished bottom of that group, which is crazy. But Porto, they're a good team, and Eustachio is at the heart of that team.
He starts.
Dude, this is the hipster take. I've said it all week long, but Eustachio has been amazing. He's the most underappreciated 100%. Guy today. Like that, this is the man that, if we're talking about people who are going to break out at this tournament in terms of being household names in Canada, I don't think David's quite there yet.
Hey, Jean Buchanan.
Tejan Buchanan.
That's my vote.
Your guy? Yeah. I think it's going to be Eustachio in terms of... Because, like, obviously, during the qualifiers, I would say that it was Borjan, right?
Mm-hmm.
He became the household name. Yeah. People went, oh...
We all know who that is.
We all know who that guy is. Now he kind of feels like just like a forgotten story to a certain degree.
It this was so long, you know, it didn't have the normal end and then like the break and then the World Cup. It's been the longer break coming into November. So I think it's kind of just slowed down.
Yeah. But to me, it's going to be Eustachio. So for you, it's Buchanan. Then for you too, breakout household name in Canada.
I was going to go for Tejan Buchanan as well.
Okay,
he transferred to Club Brugge in the summer. Yep. Like he's looked good. Club Brugge also in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good team.
Yep.
Mm.
We got boys.
I was just going to say, this isn't just the Davies team.
No, we got boys.
No, we got boys.
Gushing about Belgium.
Take a hike. You stick the chocolate, pal.
Belgium is a good team.
Stick the Stella Artois.
You said they're the Leafs. They don't win.
Hey.
This is first round. What do the Leafs do in the first round?
They lose.
No, this for them is the regular season. They look really good in the group stage.
No, we said the group stage was the regular season.
And they crunch.
You said the group stage.
It's called the World
Cup
Finals.
That's what I
said. It's the World Cup Finals.
Yeah. Well, but that's what I'm saying. They always get to the quarterfinals and they lose. That's their thing.
Yeah.
They're going to lose today.
That's their ethos.
Quick break. And then Dwayne D. Rosario. Ever heard of him?
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's pretty good. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk to D-Row next. We're down on College Street. We're down at the dip. Can neither confirm or deny that I just ordered a Caesar. Can't confirm or deny.
Buddy, you're a big shot. You can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're the big dog. JDP.
Buddy, this is red hot down here.
It's
again,
so
the
nice
band,
out now.
The band is cooking. They gotta switch up the song though. This is now they done the same song.
They're obviously this is like the big TFC song, so they're obviously gonna play this when we score.
So they're and guess what? Let's ask our next guest.
Things you do to
this band knows a thing or two about scoring goals. Wendy Rosario, you've probably heard about him. Probably heard about him. Scored a lot of goals for Team Canada. What's up, buddy? How are we feeling today?
I'm good, man. I just can't get it. I was liking the
too,
man. I'm kidding, you guys are playing.
Dude, I know you're jacked because... Yeah, see? There we go. Sigala. I know you're jacked because I saw your Instagram today. There was like 12 different posts by you like, Canada Soccer Day. You're like promoting this game like nobody knows. You're fired up, buddy. I can feel it. Like, this is it, man. Can you believe it that it's actually happening today?
Man, this is a dream come true for not only myself but the whole soccer community because it's monumental on so many levels. You know, we're talking about from grassroots right up to the pro level. The whole game is benefiting. There's an energy. There's a sense of pride. There's a sense of listen. You know, the bandwagon's big. Everybody jump on.
Oh, man, the bandwagon's huge. Again, today is going to be nuts. To see everybody down here for a World Cup wearing all Canada kits and, yeah, just being together is just... Yeah, man, the passion is incredible. You know, it feels like it's going to carry over just from qualifiers into seeing this. You're already seeing it, like, yeah, news cameras down here, people starting to fill in the streets, people already starting to get a drink. There's, like, that real energy already that's going down, man. It's very, very exciting. So, okay, man, this has been the tricky one. It's like, what do we actually believe with this Canadian team, right? A lot of hype right now, a lot of talk about how they might be able to actually hang in this game against Belgium. What are your expectations?
Well, why not? I mean, we've seen Japan upset Germany. We've seen we have the speed, we have the ability, we have the caliber, the creativity. I think so.
Yeah. What's your setup for the game? Where are you headed? Where do the big dogs watch the game?
I got a viewing party that I got to attend. But yeah. I'm gonna be glued to that TV, and I'm gonna be on that field with those guys.
Buddy, so listen, Canada wins today, you better do a after the viewing party swing by College Street, because it's going to be outstanding down here. Like, Canada wins, zero chance going down in the streets. Like, you got to be a part, you got to be down with the people.
There's going to be a lot of shaking and baking going on.
Oh man, 100%. A lot of people might be calling sick to work tomorrow if Canada ends up pulling this one out. Okay, so I was talking to Sid Sixero yesterday. He was mentioning that he thinks Jonathan David's the best striker in the group. Do you agree?
In which group? World Cup?
In our group. In Canada's group.
Well, listen, his performance and what he's done today, you cannot overlook that fact. I think what he's been able to accomplish in France, what he's done in Belgium, and what he's done with the national team is unparalleled. And let's not forget also Kyle Laird's contribution. Leading the world in goals at the international level.
Hey, where do you think Canada has the biggest advantage today?
I think our speed. I think our speed, our pace is gonna hurt Belgium. We've seen that with Saudi Arabia against Argentina. In my humble opinion, I think their pace and their pressure really put Argentina in an uncomfortable position. And we saw that again with Japan against Germany. Japan's fitness wore Germany down. And after, you know, there's only so much you can mentally take. Japan just kept plugging away. And because of their tenaciousness and their hunger and their speed, they created some, you know, a few good goal scoring chances.
So we were talking about it earlier in the show about how everybody's talking about De Bruyne going into this game. And honestly, you know, it's for good reason. But do you feel like the injury to Alphonso Davies has been more of the talking point about, as opposed to just how damn good this guy is and how it's kind of an under-talked about story that we got a world-class guy too?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's World Cup, so the conversation is going to be against, you know, the big players and their injuries and if they're fit and ready to go. I think from leading into the World Cup, that's kind of overshadowed a lot of the other players. But, you know, we're happy to hear that Alphonso is ready to go. He's fit. He's 100%. He passed all the fitness tests that are required. Herdman mentioned that he feels positive about his impact in the game. Now, listen, whether he starts remains to be seen. But it's not a bad option when you can look down your bench and see a guy like Fonzie, you know, licking his lips ready to get into the game. I mean, I think that's a good problem to have. And if you're a Belgian player, you're looking like, shit. What are we going to do now?
Yeah. I just, like, again, I can't wait to see these guys against this level of competition. Do you feel like there's going to be nerves for these guys? Because this is the thing that I've been trying to kind of get, like, parse between is Herdman seems to be just this incredible motivator. A lot of people believe he's just got these guys ready to play. All the pressure appears to be on Belgium. How do you think that this is going to kind of play out from just the mental aspect, especially through the first half of this one?
One thing for Belgium side, they're seasoned. They're pros. They all play at big levels. They be in this moment. They're World Cup finalists. They're fine. They're going to be composed. Their biggest concern is the it factor that Canada has, the uncertainty that Canada has, just like Saudi Arabia brought to Argentina, just like Japan brought to Germany. And that's what we're Canada. The world of soccer doesn't know about Canada. And now they're going to know what Canada's all about. And I think that's our upper hand, right? We're going in there. We have, yes, are they going to be nervous? 100%. I mean, this is the big stage. All kids that play this game want to take this game to the next level. They all dream about opportunities like this. So, you know, it's going to be one of those moments where you can't help but feel nervous. But at the same time, once that whistle blows, and you're standing there holding your heart and hearing your passionate fans sing that anthem, you're ready to go.
D-Row, today's a big day for you too, man. You had a huge part in helping Canada get to this moment. I hope that you're celebrating it. I hope that you're having a blast. And I hope that you and the viewing party watch a big Canada win, buddy. Thanks so much for making time today.
I appreciate it, man. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Today's a great day. And let's go, Canada, man. Let's go and enjoy all the festivities.
Yes, 100%. The festivities will be enjoyed today deeply. Again, may or may not have a little beverage on the patio, watch a little Spain. What?
No. Is he still there? He's gone.
Oh, he's gone. Oh,
okay. I was going to say, you already have him. May enjoy one. You already have one.
No, not confirmed. You can't confirm or deny.
I can't even buy one yet.
No.
You're like Julian right now. All you hear is like, cling, 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 cling.
No. You cannot confirm or deny, buddy. What are you, snitch?
Drink down,
jailhouse
Julian.
Rat?
Oh, yeah. Do it here.
Yeah.
Oh!
And Spain just scored.
Yeah. That looked like that. I could have scored that goal.
Danny Olmo.
That was too easy. Man, Spain was something like minus 500 favorites in this game.
Yeah. Well, Costa Rica needed the playoff to get into the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And for people who don't know, whoever comes out of this group, with Spain, Costa Rica, Japan, Germany, if Canada gets out of the group, they're playing someone from that group.
That's actually big news today with Japan.
Exactly.
Huge. Except for here's the... Oh, you know what? I just realized they lost that game, so Germany's going to have to play Spain.
They lost that game, and now Germany has to play Spain on the weekend.
Dude, that Germany
and Japan
game.
Can go up 6 points.
Man, it's
if
so
they beat Costa
fun
Rica.
Being involved in the World Cup. This is the best. Thinking about stuff like this in the international tournament is the best.
Yeah,
watching all these games and realizing the stakes of them, nice touch.
It's a gorgeous goal.
Yeah, it's a very,
goal.
Very pretty goal.
I really like Spain's jersey.
I'm not sure you could have scored that one, Joe, like you said there before.
By the way, you two are basically, Joe's coming for you, Sammy, in terms of being the resident guy who comments the most on gear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
No, I kind of
Joe literally every night will send, he'll be like, hey, why don't we talk about these uniforms and why don't we talk about this aesthetic thing?
I don't do that every night.
Man, we're an audio show.
Well, let's not talk about the fact that Canada doesn't have new jerseys because that's like one of the main
that makes
negatives.
Me sick.
It's one of the only negatives about Canada being there.
Listen, I'm not the hugest sports fashion guy.
Mm-hmm.
That is bothersome.
Yeah, I agree.
That is a big time black eye on Canada soccer.
Well, Nike released like some statement saying, "Oh, they're just on a different cycle." Like, what do you mean?
No, dude,
it's the
that's
World Cup.
So embarrassing
the
that
World
they didn't
Cup.
End up getting a cool, sweet new kit for the World Cup. Do you know how many that? This is there's a couple things that suck, like, deeply about this tournament, obviously. And I don't want to make, like, a false equivalency here, but everything behind the scenes for this tournament stinks. And every time you think about it, it takes you out of it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
All of the issues back home with Canada Soccer and the way that this organization has run and been treating its players, awful. Everything that goes behind the scenes with Qatar and being here and how they got this event, when this event is being held, how these stadiums were built, like how the populace is treated, how the fans need to be reacting. It just, when the soccer's not on, it's hard to dial into this tournament, man. It's not easy. Like, so yeah, Canada, start the game so that I can just focus a little bit on the soccer for an hour and a half.
Just give Spain the win, 1-0.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty nice. Although we got to filter in a few more people here. There's still our seats. You can come on down here. I cannot wait.
It is downright gorgeous out now.
Man,
oh,
it's the
beautiful.
Sun's out.
It's
probably
beautiful.
What it's about 7 or 8 degrees out here.
I'm not wearing a jacket.
No. I mean, we also have an industrial heater right by us.
Dude, my left leg is boiling.
I was going to say, is it even on?
No. It's
on. I thought they turned it off.
Yeah. My Air Force is melting, bro.
Joe, you know you can move your foot. Is
melting. My Air Force has been melting for the last
hour.
He's
literally just on fire over there.
Yeah. Jobo just struggled.
My leg is just in flames.
All right. So... Yeah, we're a few hours away still from this thing. It's 11 o'clock. Donovan Bennett's going to be coming on. He's got a loaded cast of characters. We have Dan Riccio, our buddy, who, man, Danny had to come on today because they
he's been through the thick and the thin mm-hmm. with this Canada soccer program.
For sure.
And he has been the guy who has always said, they're going to be here. They're going to end up getting this done. Believe, believe, believe. Even when they're at their lowest of lows, the Honduras game.
Mm. I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to, because we're at Cafe Dip, so I don't want to say too many bad things. But he actually gets to, you know, cheer for the country he's from. He doesn't have to cheer for Italy. So he actually has. Honestly, it must be really nice for. I mean, no, it's not nice because Italy didn't make it, and that's a tough bounce for them.
Yeah.
But all the guys now that they don't have to pick. Yep. You know, like, I'm interested to see the, like, I know the Portuguese guys, they're all cheering for Canada.
No, but they will, but this is the...
Cheer for both.
Yeah, which is... I get it, because...
You've just been cheering for a team for so long, because Canada's been bad for so long, you haven't had...
I get cheering for both, because listen, you know me, I love both the Argos and the Ticats. I'm the only guy. I understand.
That's a cardinal sin.
No, I know, but it is, and I understand, so I can't tell anybody.
Bonka's had a dalliance with every CFL team. He's the Kevin Glenn of fans. He plays for every team.
No, but you know this, man. I met that 99 Grey Cup team when I was a kid at a Planet Hollywood. It's the most 90s story ever. I met Joe Monfort. I met Danny McManus at a Planet Hollywood in the late 90s. On my birthday, and that team sang me happy birthday.
Really?
Yes, dude. Yes, man. Wow. And then they went on and won the Grey Cup, and I watched it, and I was like, I am diehard Tabbies forever.
That's the last time
they won. That is the last time they won. Anyway, so it's just like, I can't abandon my love for the Tabbies, but I genuinely love the Argos. Like, Sammy, you know me very well. You know how tied up in the Argos I have been.
We're going to the rally tomorrow.
100%.
That's what I'm saying. Rally.
Yes, dude. Yeah. Yes. So I don't... Anyway, I know that there's some dudes listening to this right now from the Hammer and from, you know, the Argos fans that are disgusted.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm just telling you that it is what it is, okay? I have two children. I love them equally. It's a Sophie's choice. So I'm sorry.
You mentioned the fandom aspect of people kind of jumping in on bandwagons and cheering for two different teams.
Yeah.
I just hope that, you know, there's no fan gatekeeping when it comes to this.
Because no, you can't.
There's a lot of people. Listen, I have buddies who have hammered soccer for my whole life, because I've liked soccer a long time, and people have always made fun of me for liking soccer, and then, you know, this Canada gets good and it's been enjoyable, and I have never said one thing about people jumping on. You're a perfect example. You jumped on the bandwagon early El Salvador
years ago.
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely.
Hey, listen, have I not been to Canada soccer games with you at the bar, literally at, I'm not going to name other establishments today, but have I not been there watching this team play every single time that they've suited up for trying to get into the Hex?
Yes. We'll
you,
say yes.
Your wife and I, we'll your wife and I had a famous fight.
That was against the States that game. Yeah.
No, that wasn't against the States
wasn't
that
it?
Game. No,
in
no,
Mexico?
No.
It was against somebody. We lost.
Yeah, when we were down at the yes, of course. And Canada lost. And they disappointed. Would I turn on them? And would I say we're never? Yeah. Yes. Have I said those things? 1,000%. Have I been on that island?
Yeah.
But you're right. I don't think that there's any gatekeeping going on, because. Well, there's two things. One, everybody in the country should actually basically have had a bit of a preview of this with the Raptors, because people in Toronto love the Raps.
It's a great point.
Yeah, people in Toronto love the Raps, but when you started seeing viewing parties for Kawhi out in Edmonton, remember how Vancouver was the last one? They're like, yeah, we're That's not sure. Yeah, I know, dorks. Anyway, dark city. But anyway, it is what it is. Everybody else jumped on the bandwagon, and this country forever and ever and ever had always thought that the only way that you could be a true hockey fan was if you also hated basketball, that those two things went hand in hand.
Mm.
Hell, man, Spittin' Chiclets did that bit for forever about say something that you hate about basketball, because that was just a part of hockey in the 90s and the 2000s.
Yeah.
That was it. Sick league, right? That's it.
Yeah.
You had to hate hockey. You couldn't like both. If you liked both, it was weird.
Mm.
If you liked basketball more, it was an affront. Soccer is different in that it's not ever even been competitive in terms of the interest of people in the country. But I still do think that for the most part, we have been a nation of people that have done the, oh, no goals, right? Because we're an uneducated soccer country.
I think it's more the diving.
Dude, yes.
That's the number one complaint.
Yeah. It's both. Here's the thing. We are an immigrant nation, and so there's a lot of people here who have always cared about soccer and who have always been diehards for soccer and have never had a moment like this.
Mm-hmm.
But for the people that have been here, like multi-generational families, I don't think soccer is like a big part of that culture.
No.
It's just not. It's just not.
No.
And so I think that is the group of people that are now kind of coming in on this, right? If your family, if your, let's say, great-grandfather is from here,
mm-hmm.
you probably were not heavily invested or heavily leveraged into soccer. You're part of that bandwagon.
Yeah.
today is your day. Nobody's gatekeeping. Maybe Sid Sixero's gatekeeping a little bit. Like, he's like, this means more to me than other people. Yeah, exactly. Sid he's pulled up in. Early to watch Spain, Costa Rica. Yeah. Maybe, hey, it means a little bit more to Sid than it does to you, all right? It means that's a little bit more to DeVang than it does to the rest of us.
I'll hear that.
My takes are good. It's go Canada. That's my take. My take is we're going to win.
I did want to add on your point when you mentioned if you're maybe a multi-generation, it's a little different. But if you're an immigrant family and you're coming to this country, the diversity of this place, like our talisman on the team, Alfonso Davies, is a representation of that.
Yes.
Born to Liberian parents, gone to refugee camp, moved to Edmonton. Played in a program called Free Footy, which was a program that is made for grades 3 to 6, which is designed for marginalized kids with not a ton of financial help.
That's sweet.
And
beautiful.
That's the true Canadian story.
Yeah, and he could play against other good-level players that just weren't able to pay for club teams.
Yeah.
And Alfonso Davies made it all the way. He is the living representation that you can come to a country for a better life and make it, and that country will support you.
I'm ready to run through a brick wall.
Joe, way to go.
Let's go.
This is the best thing you've ever done.
Congratulations.
Not just on the show. Like, I mean, probably in your
in my entire life.
Young life.
This is it. My young life?
Yeah, it's like, what else did you
and
have?
And Spain is up 2-0. Wow.
Yeah, Spain is absolutely
Did you know the two of the midfielders that Spain's playing, their combined age is 37? They're 19 and 18. And they're cooking. Sid is saying that Spain is going to the final.
Sid's saying, guess what, though? Here's their problem, though. Apparently, we play them in the next group after we advance, and Canada's beaten them, so they're not going to the final. Canada's going to the final. What are you talking about?
This is a Canada show.
This is a Canada show. I don't know if you know about Canada. I guess maybe you didn't see all the games, Sid.
Sid's wearing a Canadian jersey, too. Yeah, he's turning on us.
No, man. Look, I am down. I am down. I am down. But I'm. Guess what? I got a Canada bet. Pretty heavy. We're going all the way back up. We're going all the way back up today, later in the day. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's bring in my boy Dan Riccio. Huge day for the kid. Love the guy to death. He's doing a Kick in the Grass podcast, him and Jeff Blair, which is a must listen, must subscribe.
I'm so excited to talk to Reach.
Yeah, of course. This is Riccio's day.
This is the day.
Although, classic Reach, all the great soccer stuff happened after he left.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, Riccio, guy, number
except
one.
He called the MLS final.
Yeah, he did. But he got flown in for that.
Yes.
He's a big shot.
Oh, yeah.
He got flown in for that because he's a big shot.
Yeah.
He wasn't here. If anything, actually, what we should be talking about is he needs to stay out.
he can never come back.
No, absolutely no Dan Riccio returning to the city, because ever since he left, soccer has turned a corner in this country. We'll talk to him in a second. Dan Riccio out in Vancouver. That's next.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
It's so loud at times that I can't even hear me. I'm hoping that I'm getting through. Dan Riccio, one of the guys that you can really credit with this country turning around, this city really turning it around in terms of soccer. As soon as Dan Riccio left the city, TFC Championship, Canada World Cup, Dan Riccio, curse to the city, plague to Toronto. but such a good soccer fan that he left for the good of the country. Dan Riccio, what's up, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, as far as I remember, I was the one calling that TFC championship win.
Yeah, bingo. We flew the curse in for a moment to be like, hey, this is the pack. This is the deal we make with the devil, is you get to call this one game and then you go back.
Did you know that I was on a plane during that game, during the final?
Oh, I know, yeah.
And I listened to a janky, like, Wi-Fi airplane call of Riccio doing the final.
Buddy, how are you in the Red Patch Boys? How are you in the Red Patch Boys when you left?
I couldn't. It was a situation. I was in Vancouver with Ali, and, like, we had a whole trip planned.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You planned a trip because you didn't believe in TFC.
No, I didn't plan the trip. I'd never plan a trip.
Buddy.
Are you crazy?
All right. Tweet into the show. Leave a message in the show. Sam planned a trip around TFC final.
Not true.
And is a member of the Red Patch Boys.
I got the scarf.
Yeah, I know. You should give it to the real Red Patch Boys.
Like,
you should give that scarf to somebody else here.
Talk to Reach.
Hey, today's giveaway.
At least Sam is an actual soccer fan and not just somebody who's jumping on the bandwagon like you right now.
Oh, hey, guess what? You know who we talked about today? The worst people, the soccer gatekeepers. And guess what?
You just did it.
You showed up. There you go. You fell right into our trap, Reach, you idiot. Like, that's it. Okay, man, come on. Like, honestly, man, this is so sweet. This is so, so, so sweet. This is incredible. Again, everybody's down here cheering for one team. I never thought that we would see this. Honestly, man, I remember you and I
watching that Honduras game, me hammering you, going, I can't believe that you made me believe that we could win. Do you remember that day where I got mad at you for?
Yeah.
I screamed in your face saying I never even cared until you made me care, saying that we needed to do this. And now we're here, man. Can you believe it? Like, honestly, I know this is kind of just sentimental, whatever, but we're all just bros here. Tell me what this means to you, man.
This means everything, man. Like, I know I am, as much as anybody, as every good Toronto Italian, have been down to St. Clair after any Italy win during a World Cup or a Euro.
That's over now, Danny. That's over now. You're Canadian. You're not Italian. Give it up.
But that's the thing. This is the thing I've been waiting for. Actually,
renounce.
You know, like this is the thing I've been waiting for. Actually, is to get out there in red and white, watch Canada do this thing.
Yeah.
So today is like everything, man. I mean, going back to that Honduras 8-1 and trying to convince everybody, like, all they need is a draw, and then they get to the final stage of qualifying. Like, oh, so like there's still another way to go for qualifying. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how far this whole thing has come. And now, today, it's like I got to pinch myself to realize that this is happening. We're going to watch parties. We're you know, breaking it down on the show after the game is over. It's just like, I mean, pinch me, man. Give me this every 4 years, 100%.
Dude, if there's anybody that's in the cry club, like allowed to cry when they start this game, it's you. You're allowed to be in the cry club. You're allowed to be in the club that cries and goes, I can't believe this is happening. You know what, though, I was just thinking of? What we should do in this country, if I'm Canada Soccer, easiest promotion ever, is like, you know when they have those gun returns where you're supposed to bring a gun in because they're like, hey, bring in your guns and we'll give you something. You know, we'll give you a rebate or we'll give you money for your gun. We should do it where, in this country, if you bring in your jersey, your kit, of the country that you used to cheer for. Like, if you're a Germany fan, you know, like, I saw one guy showed up here, his Germany uniform.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you bring in your jersey, we just auto-give you a Canada sweater.
I love that.
Like, we give you a Canadian jersey. You bring it in, and then we burn the other jerseys in a pile. There's a huge bonfire in the middle of the street, and then you bring your old jersey. Sid brings all his old Portugal stuff, and he throws it in a fire, and we give him more Canada gear. Riccio brings all his Italy stuff. Ghosts. You see Sid's old jersey, the ghosts.
It's like when Homer burned his underwear.
Just
all the ghouls.
No, I'm telling you, that's what we should be doing. Everybody check it out. Everybody's back in on Canada. But yeah, Danny, you get to cry. You get to do the move. Okay, so do you think Belgium's as vulnerable as people are building this up to be?
I do, man. Does that mean Canada's going to win today? No, but... like, look, they are susceptible to the counterattack. Canada has... you know, made a living on the counterattack through qualifying. We know that they've got speed on the wings that can really exploit that. Like, Belgium's going to push their wingbacks up and really leave their, you know, old back line, the three of them, to try to fend off attacks. They're going to push really high up the pitch. The hardest thing for Canada will be, you know, those few chances that they get to put balls over the top and in behind Belgium's defense, making sure you're staying onside. I think Davies and Tejon Buchanan coming in off the wing and really being runners into that space behind the Belgian back line are just huge parts of today. And I see that's ultimately the way that this is going to happen. And you're going to have to defend well, which is probably Canada's biggest concern here against Belgium.
Reach, it's so incredible to talk to you today, buddy. Honestly, it's just
to hear your
voice.
You,
I miss you every day. But I just,
you know what?
I'm
just so pumped that everybody's like in on this, you know, and it's not like
everybody's feeling the feels right now. Everybody's all emotional. I really love everybody. It's me, big. Yeah. See, you hear Sid yell?
Yeah,
he loves
you, Reach.
Donovan didn't say anything, though. Yeah. Quiet over there. Donovan meant it. Didn't say a thing.
I asked Bunkus this early in the show. What gives you the most confidence in a win today, and what gives you the least confidence in a win today?
I mean, the least confidence is Kevin De Bruyne is on the other side. The way I've put it to some casual fans is like, you know, that guy's like Connor McDavid. You know, if he just decides he wants to win a game.
Your gatekeeping is on a different level today. You're like, this is my day.
You know,
you're Bridezilla out here. You're making it all about you. Anyway, go on. The casuals, all right. What do you tell? Sorry to interrupt, Lord Soccer. What do you tell? What do you tell the casuals?
I'm trying to give people an analogy that they'll understand. So he's like Connor McDavid, you know? He's like, if he decides he wants to win the game, he can do that sort of thing. So Kevin De Bruyne on the other side is really big. And, you know, most confidence is ultimately it's we've got Alphonso Davies. You know, like, the guy is
one of the better players on the planet. He's one of the better players in this group. Like, if you're power ranking the best players in this group, Davies is certainly in the top five. So when I think of that, I think that gives Canada a chance. Yeah.
That's it? It's a good group.
Okay, I mean, you could argue about top three. I mean, you know, there's Kevin De Bruyne, there is Modric, and then you can probably start to debate Davies and some others around that.
I don't know if it's a debate, Reach. I don't want to. No, I don't want to be Mr. Reach, Soccer here. But
hey, listen,
I think he's top three.
Maybe
top one.
Reach. What I've been saying to the casuals is that he's top three player in the group. Okay, like, what are you talking about? It's Modric. It's him. And yeah, it's De Bruyne. That's it, right? Well, who's above?
Well, I mean, Lukaku would be there if he was healthy.
But a lot of ifs with that guy, eh? Like, that's Mr. Yeah. If, hey, if he was healthy, if
Buddy,
he was
I've been around. Watching a lot of Chelsea games, Lukaku. I don't know about that one.
You're a Lukaku for that take, is what I'm telling you.
Lukaku.
I don't know if you guys ever heard of, like, you know, Mateo Kovacic. Like, you know,
he's sick.
Sick players on Belgium and Croatia. Thibaut Courtois is like the best goalkeeper on the planet. You know, he's not just like a big NBA guy that can make saves. That's an inside joke between me and JD.
No, that's not an inside joke. Like, I brought it up yesterday. And guess what? Jobo, our resident soccer guy, went, that's actually like a pretty reasonable take, unlike you who tried to slash my tires right now. You know, that's your third strike gatekeeping.
Peter Cech is now playing like top European league hockey and as a like 42-year-old ex-soccer goalkeeper. So, you know, like, it's possible on both ends.
Is he actually?
He's playing hockey. Yes.
Doing what?
He plays hockey.
I don't know if he plays the Czech top league, but he plays hockey.
It's not the top league, but
he plays like in beer league.
Goalie.
But he plays.
That's
goalie.
Actually so sick.
Is it the Czech top league? I thought he was.
No
in the
way. Czech top league, sick.
I was
going to
say Czech top league is nasty. Every those European countries' top league is nasty. Yeah.
So,
anyway.
Reach. We were kicking this around at the end of last hour. Who do you think's the biggest breakout candidate here for household name for the casuals?
So for the casuals, our two candidates are Buchanan and Eustáquio. If you want to go off the board,
I feel like Eustáquio is already there. I mean, the guy's playing for a Champions League club with Porto right now. He's got five goals. He's been pretty much their breakout star already this year. So Tejan is a good one. He's certainly on the radar of some big clubs. If I'm going to go off the board a little bit, I'd say Sam Adekupi, who was sort of one of the breakout stars of qualifying. And, you know, left backs, full backs are always in demand for top five European clubs or any, you know, European clubs in the top five leagues. So with how he's played club-wise in Turkey and how he's played for Canada, how big of a part he is of this team, bombing down that left flank, overlapping with Davies on that left side, I think he's got a chance to really impress some people at this tournament and be kind of sneaky, make a bigger move out of it if he plays well.
I love that, man. That's
why you bring him on.
Well, no.
There you go. He's not casually. Bring that one on.
Well, that wasn't a casual one. That was a real one. The only thing is, that was for the Canada-USA people where they were like, guess what, bro? Guess who we're in on? That we're in on. Adekupi. Like, that's the one.
Yeah.
Okay, so has the Mexico and USA draws changed anything in terms of your expectations? Because, maybe this is just the casuals' take, but the way that those two have looked against, Poland and Wales, and I know Wales isn't supposed to be the strongest, but they got Bale. Like, it's supposed to be pretty decent. The way that those two have looked so far did make me feel a little bit more bold about my position on Canada.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Mexico probably should have. I would have expected them to beat Poland.
Yeah.
As for the U.S.,
got a huge save to make sure that they ended up with the result they got.
Yeah, and the U.S. like they don't have a finisher, but they played in the overall pretty well in that match. For Canada, like, they've just ultimately they've got the toughest group out of the three big CONCACAF teams, and that's where this gets super difficult. Belgium is there and for the taking. So is Croatia, as we saw earlier today. Like, their attack can be punchless at times. They don't really have a big number nine, and I think the Lukaku loss for Belgium also is something that gives me hope for Canada, but
In a World Cup, it comes down to the draw. And of all the CONCACAF teams, Canada got the toughest, unless you want to really include Costa Rica, who's getting smashed by Spain right now.
So I feel bad because we've been sitting here talking about Canada soccer for almost 2 hours now, and we haven't even mentioned Atiba Hutchinson's name, who is the all-time leader in caps
for
Canada.
Thank you.
Leader in caps for Canada, has a chance to be the first guy to have 100 if he gets if he plays in two games in this tournament.
Can't wait to see Atiba lift the trophy.
I don't know if I have a question here, Reach, but it's just, it's incredible for the guy to have this crowning moment for an incredible international career where he's taken a lot of junk and played with some crap teams and seen this incredible development of the team during his time.
Dude, he's the bridge.
Yeah.
Think about all of the managers that have been through Canadian soccer program, and they show up, they sell you this big, like, you know, bag of goods, and it just ends up to be a bag of beans, and it's just like, how does this keep happening? And then you're Atiba Hutchinson 4 years ago, you're like 33, you're still enjoying some good club football, and you're seeing another guy show up and sell you this bag of tricks, and you believe him and you buy in. You know, other guys didn't. Scott Arfield, he was like, you know what, I don't know if I want to commit 100% to this. And that's where John Herdman essentially made a decision, like, yeah, you might be one of our best midfielders, but if you're not buying in 100%, then this isn't going to work. And Atiba absolutely did that. And he's been the biggest leader, the biggest veteran presence for this young team that you could have possibly asked for. And the fact that he's still playing at a high level at his age, I mean, it just speaks volumes to the player, the athlete, and the person that he is.
Did you see the video with the sword?
Where
he put, like, the sword in. Oh, my God, you got to go watch it. He did, like, this big speech, and he had a sword, and he, like, put it into the ground at the stadium. Yeah. And it was, like, I was ready to run through a brick
wall. I've had Atiba on the show, and this is the way that I would describe him. Guy who gets it.
Yeah.
That is who he is. And completely understands, as probably better than anybody, obviously, being a part of the program, but just, like, understands the growth that they have, the opportunity that they have. I would imagine that there's some of these guys right now on the team going, we're here now, and we're going to be here for the next one, and this is a part of a building. For him, it's a completely different thing. This is it for me. This is the culmination of my career. This is the crown jewel of everything that I've done through a life dedicated to this sport. And, man, I just hope so badly that they can have a moment that involves him, that, yeah, we can all get a little bit of sentimental and weepy about. I really do believe that one of the biggest things about this run from individuals on this team standpoint, we're talking about guys who become breakthrough names, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about, like, hey, is Estacchio going to become that guy? Is David going to become a star in this country, right? You know, Adekubi, his pick. The one thing that I've really been appreciative of just like a guy who loves sports, is that we know who this guy is now. That Atiba Hutchinson has become someone that...
Household name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That people appreciate and understand the journey of this guy and what he's meant to the program and what he means to this team right now. Okay, this is kind of like a weird one, but I am thinking about it as we're all just kind of discussing it together. And I'm not trying to be like doomsday guy here, but it's something that I've thought about, and I do want to ask your question, your opinion on it, is I want Canada to win. Everything about Canada winning success is golden, obviously. Who cares? But Herdman has been so hot throughout all this, that is there a fear of losing him from the program after this World Cup?
There is already at least some reported interest on the club level. I think Burnley and Blackburn have been the clubs that are maybe sniffing around.
Team. That's the same team.
But how could they not?
Yeah, that's the same team.
It's true though, Sammy. Like, how could they not? I mean, that would be a bit of a devastating situation for Canada. It's a reality though, and you know, maybe if we think about the breakout, it could be a breakout of John Herdman.
I think he's already broken out.
Right? Like, the stories of him and how he's put this thing together and what he can do for a program on a budget and a program that has not had success and really instill something that just hasn't been there. I mean, he took the biggest laughingstock in maybe world soccer, an afterthought in world soccer, the biggest laughingstock of CONCACAF to the World Cup. And ultimately, that's going to lead to him getting bigger opportunities beyond Canada. You just hope that it's not before 2026.
I shouldn't have asked.
Atiba will just step in.
I shouldn't have asked that question. That was a mistake. I regret it. I was hoping your answer was literally going to be something like,
no chance he leaves.
He's Ted Lasso. He just, you know, he might, it's just, he's here forever. This is his club. He's sticking around. This is a movie. This is a TV show. This is all emotional. Anyway, Danny, I'm happy for you, man. Again, today is awesome. I wish that, actually, I'm so glad that you're not here so that you're not cursing the
boys.
What's
your prediction today, Danny boy?
What is it before you go?
Put your cojones on the line,
put them down. Put them on the table.
Oh, man. It.
Oh, I can already tell from your tone.
Oh, don't say L.
Yeah.
The thing Mackie, hang up the phone if he says L.
You casuals don't understand is he's going to go for strike four right here. Reach, what are you doing?
I'm going to say 2-1 Belgium.
Yeah. Oh, hang up. Boop.
We got to be realistic about this.
See you later, Dart. Thanks for coming. Oh, man, I can't wait to cram this down your throat.
Listen.
If they win this game, I'm going to be hammering you on socials. Soccer casual Dan Riccio thought Belgium was going to win. What an idiot.
I know, right?
Oh, my God, Mr. Chalk.
Today. It's not like it's not like they're a heavy favorite.
No, that's what, you know what's wild, though, is how much the betting line has moved. And I'd love to see international books on this one, you know, because the Canadian books, they've been obviously hammered with Canada. That was a predictable thing. McKee and I were stupid not to bet it earlier. I did get them at plus 550, same, which is okay. Yeah, so you're plus 550 guy, but man, you could have got them at plus 800.
Yeah.
Stings if they win. That's going to be the only thing that sucks about Canada soccer winning today is I'm going to be thinking about how I could have had it at plus 800 and just it'll sit with me. It'll sit with me for forever. That's a true gambling way is even the wins you're sad because there was a better way to win. Anyway, Danny, love you to death, brother. Enjoy the day.
Enjoy it, boys.
Dan Riccio, Kicking the Grass podcast. He and Jeff Blair. Jeff and man, loaded. Honestly, this was more of the vibes show.
The
Jobo, would you agree?
Yes,
this was
I would
the vibes.
Agree. Yes. Well, I want to add to the vibes. I looked up what Team Petrček plays goalie for.
Oh yes.
It's a semi-professional team.
Yeah.
In
what
England.
A bozo.
Okay, so here's the thing, though.
What an absolute.
It was
bozo.
Not the top
here's
level.
Here's the thing.
Yeah,
what's it called? What's it called? It's set
up 42-year-old
like
Peter Chapman.
The team that he plays for.
Yeah.
The Chelmsford Chieftains.
So
that guy had to wear the concussion helmet in soccer. Okay. I think he was 42
it was,
years
he was,
old.
It looked like a gangster.
You think he was
it?
Where the 42-year-old guy was going to strap on the skates, go out on the ice, and play with the top Czech lads?
I have a buddy who plays in Germany, but he plays for a club team, and he used to play my beer league team. It wasn't that good. And their club team, it's just a beer league team. They have, there's just more tradition, and they call them clubs, but it's just beer league.
It's just
by far
like
the best player, if it's from Canada. So it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Czech league. So Peter Cech,
He doesn't play in the Czech league. He plays in the second tier of England.
Yeah. He's not even in that.
No, it's the second tier of England.
Second tier of England.
Yep.
Second tier of England.
The NIHL. So they added an I in between NHL.
Riccio. Riccio's like, I'm a journalist. I know soccer. I know the things that are going on that are happening. Peter Cech is the man. No. Dad. Hey, guess what? Here's what Riccio said today. Riccio said today that he thinks Belgium's going to win, and he also thought Peter Cech was about to become an NHLer.
He played the top division in Czechia.
So here's what you need to know about Dan Riccio. Knows nothing. Nothing. But yeah, subscribe to the Kick in the Grass podcast and hear him and Jeff Blair. Hey, guess what? You'll hear Jeff Blair. He'll give you a good taste.
Yeah, yeah.
Donovan Bent's here. What's up?
Hey. What up? This is fun.
Yeah, it is fun, huh? This is good. I like live location. It's nice being back in the group. This is a very groupy feel today, you know?
It is?
Yeah, it's good, man. You got people pouring in wearing the jerseys. Yeah. You've got your jersey on.
I think our definition of groupie are
I was gonna say
things.
That was my. That's what I bristled.
I meant it like in. yeah, all right, fine. I'll take that L. I'll take that L. I'll wear that one. Hey, man, how you feeling today, though? Where's the confidence level at? You got a big show coming up. You guys, we were the casual fun soccer show. You guys are like the hard,
the heavy hitters.
The heavy hitter show. You, Blair, Sid. I think the Vang's jumping on with you.
Yeah, we're the football show.
Yeah, you are.
The world calls it football, not soccer.
See, that was already stunting on me.
We're the casuals. Yeah.
Shoot, honestly, just you start your show now.
I'm sure you guys have a great soccer-baseball pod.
Yeah, we did.
Breakdown. So I don't know how to feel because, should we feel?
Because you're a contrarian and now everybody's excited. And
no, here's the thing.
You got a zag.
You got
your
move. Minnows, right?
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia getting a great result.
Yeah.
Argentina offside 1,000 times. Japan shocks Germany, even though Japan has had some good tournaments, right?
Yeah.
Should be a shock. Do you feel more confident, bullish, that Canada, the lowest-ranked team in their group, after seeing the two other sides go 0-0, not look impressive, that they can steal a point or 3 points and be the next upset? Or is everyone in that
already happened?
Is everyone in that Belgium dressing room saying, "Hey guys, like let's not fool around"?
Yeah. Can I spin it back? You know what I think it is? I'm thinking that we're going to come out of today, and that it's going to be the story of the day, the story of the World Cup so far is going to be upset central. The world is becoming more of a soccer world.
Oh,
the powerhouses are dead. The powerhouses are buried. It's all about equality. And it's like there's no equality in Qatar, but there's equality on the pitch. And all the teams that everybody wrote off, they're the teams that are going to be getting this done.
So no Japan, super teams, eh?
No super teams.
Canada, the Utah Jazz,
buddy,
FIFA.
What has been the theme of sports this year? NBA, no good teams. Everybody sucks. Golden State can't win a game against Charlotte in Charlotte. Steph Curry's home backyard can't get a W. Who's doing well? Hockey, there's no good teams. There's one good team, the Devils. And even our very
Bruins
own.
Bruins are 17-2. Too.
Yes. Shh. Okay. But there's two teams, all right? But either way, the Devils are 14.
Don't ruin a good story.
They're going to win 14 games in a row. They're going to win 14 games in a row. And I was seeing on the broadcast a day or two ago where they're talking about how maybe the Devils don't even make the playoffs this year because there's so much parity. Maybe that extends to soccer, too.
Love
maybe
it.
That extends here. Maybe what we're talking about through sports is just like parity rules the day. Superpowers are dead. Underdogs are live. Canada rules. That's the day.
Maybe. I mean, like,
maybe.
You said a lot of things that are not at all related to the World Cup. But here, can I give you like some actual information to prop up your
mildly warm take? Hey, dude, this is what you do. You do information. I do feelings.
So here's the thing. We've got a World Cup now in the middle of November.
Yeah,
right. In the middle of domestic seasons. And like, what have all the MLS guys been doing? Whether it's USA, which actually has a lot of international players, or Canada. They've been prepping for this tournament. Saudi Arabian team, they've been training together like a club side for 6 weeks. So you've got all these great players from all around the world leaving their club sides. France, half their team isn't playing because they're hurt.
Yep.
And you've got some other smaller nations where this is the big prize who've solely been thinking, let's get it done at the end of November. So could that be? No.
That's a good angle. No, here's the thing. That was a good angle.
Good angle.
It's like, that's a good answer. Good answer. That was strong. Yeah. That was equally strong. Yeah. World of parity versus, you know, actual preparation mattering.
Yeah.
This was a very much the dichotomy of
fire and ice, baby.
No, but just like Donovan and I, in terms of like who we are as people, he's like, I've been prepping for this all week. I've been working hard, getting ready for this. Whereas you showed up and went, doesn't this feel great, guys? And isn't this a fun time? Fun, sexy time for everybody. Okay, what's your biggest reason for optimism then?
For Canada?
Yeah, of course. No, for Belgium. Come on.
Listen, if you were to, let's say, when we're playing in the schoolyard as kids, we're picking teams. Okay, you're on this team, you're on this team. If we just threw out 52 players from the two sides and picked teams, I would say that three of the top, arguably six players, would be Canadian. Clearly, Alphonso. Well, Kevin De Bruyne is
number one.
Yeah.
So what?
One.
Our three guys are
Alphonso
David,
Davies,
Eustáquio, and Davies?
Correct.
Yeah.
And so never before have we been able to say, at the top level, we could play the best in the world, and our best are elite. These guys have been playing massive football in Champions League, which, quite frankly, like, no offense, is a higher level than some of the games we're going to see in this World Cup.
Hell yeah.
So they're not going to be afraid of the stage. I think that's the reason for optimism, and because I was born in this country.
Because we're Canadian.
Yeah, that's
right.
Correct. Good answer. Another good answer.
What a show they got coming
up. Hey, listen, their show is stacked. If you leave, you're a casual.
Yeah.
You're a casual. You got to stay. You got to stick around. You got to listen to Donovan's show. It's him. It's Blair. It's Sid Sixero. It's the Vang Tsai. You guys, you can stick around for the game. You're going to have a Moscow Mule.
Amaretto Sour.
Oh, you're on a new thing.
Well, it was on the menu, so that's
all right. Yeah, Amaretto Sour. Okay. All right, let's do this thing. Thanks for everybody for listening. Go Canada, go. We'll see you tomorrow after Canada W.